Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about preparation for a meeting at the Glenbrook Historical Society, where I hope for the first time just get this cruise control off my computer. Oh, sorry. So it's the Glenbrook Historical Society. I'm going to give a talk on it. I don't know. It's like that. Glenbrook Historical Society. I'm going to give a talk, and you know, how do you do it? And you know, what do you do? And the basis is that from zero to the head of the field, we're going to transport them. Hopefully, if they want to be transported, and this is where the photographs are all on the records are all on the internet, compressed and on the internet in one massive go, and that they've got basically a Tinder app for their people, and that we have a system unknown before where they can actually get on Google Forms and actually just put their stuff in really quickly. Now the issue here is that we've got a great template for how not to introduce technology, and that's with the education department and the understanding that of in people having investment in an old culture. So the education department is—it's not by happenstance that they're anti-technological. The people who are technological phobic have actually found, well, this is one job where I can escape technology. You know, the computers are too much for me. I can actually live life by not using computers. And part of not using computers is one of the interesting aspects of it. You know, if you look at people who, computers are sort of like the literacy of the now, and you would find that your arch villain who has used his power to get places wouldn't be that intellectual and take over things. So they would. Oh, I wish I could actually do this. No, just have a look. No. Oh, sorry, I'm just a little bit uncoordinated this morning in terms of there's this really, really weird thing in that I don't actually get better after the stroke. It's just things improve and other things. It's like a rearrangement. It's like rush hour with intelligence. You know, some things improve. So, like, my thinking has really improved, but my ability to actually pick up location data where you are. I'm focused on thought. I will not see signs and indications as I'm coming up. But the issue is that you have a brilliant template to see what happens when you introduce technology to a group of people who feel excluded to it. You know, I think the fundamental story here is that bad because I think we have they are corrupt and they should be aware that they're corrupt, but they're corrupt because they are actually frightened of technology. This is at the education department, and the sheer fear, absolute fear of technology, has led them to behave in these incredible ways. And at one point, you have to actually point out, look, you know, you can't say they're not corrupt. It's like a butcher selling bad meat. You've got to say, oh, look, I support the idea of butchers. I support the idea of eating meat. I support all these things, but you, as a butcher, are selling rancid meat, and you're killing everyone. It's the sort of your town is rather quiet. There's not much happening. There's a person's been sitting at the bus stop for an awful long time because they're dead. And if you want to actually see a killed economy, you can see Australia can't actually do anything with it. With our education, we're only good enough to actually the only value of the of educating people something incorrectly is that they can then go on and get a degree in how to teach something incorrectly. Okay, we're back again after that short break. For you, it's no break whatsoever. Talking about the, I suppose, education, and I suppose it's my sort of pet hate, but the lesson learnt from education, the lesson that I've learnt from education, is that the introduction of technology has to be done so artfully, especially to old people, and it can't be at all threatening. There has to be a bit of a story there, and it can't be something which they feel left out of. And so this is why you get such a violent thing, is that it's something they can't do, and therefore they're not going to learn it. They've decided they can't learn it, and so their response is to absolutely sort of decimate you. It's sort of like it's a special code for people who are really unscientifically computer literate. If they're not using computers, they're probably not using morals as well. You know, it's not that they're not doing one thing. So I can sort of see how it goes, and so that they are so stupid as to think that you'd use their support mechanisms to get you going. So look, they nearly had me, but it's sort of like you're in problem here, have this radio, and call in a fire mission to help you out. It's worked in the past. It's, you know, they're all there. It's, look at all these guns, and you go up and you say over, and you hear what sounds like someone from the NVA, North Vietnamese Army, answering and saying, look, I need to find, I'm under attack. Oh, yes, yes. What's the problem? Oh, yes, yes. Oh, let's do a fire mission. Oh, I didn't say, you know, danger close and that type of stuff. Don't fire on top of me. And you realise that, you know, it doesn't take long to realise that the support mechanisms are fake support mechanisms built by people who aren't—they're not doing technology. So the thing that they are mastering is that they're mastering the perfect corrupt system. And of course, when you say that, you obviously say, "Well, I'm not going to use your support mechanisms because it's all—they're all corrupt." And then when you do get someone to help, oh, look, I won't speak to you directly, but I'll phone these people who've said corrupt and listen to what they've got to say. And, of course, you know, it doesn't go there. Yeah, so it's, I suppose I'm up to the next level, the next game level, in that I haven't discovered that a fire support from the enemy is not going to be all that helpful. So we've got the issue here of it's basically perhaps a sort of a military operation, not a military operation, but the understanding of what you do. So some of the audience is, you know, they're one already. You're the youngest person there. You're someone who's going to help them and stuff like that. What can you do to give things to thread through? And so this is one of the things. So I'm providing the data projector and bringing the various bits and pieces in. And it's beginning to actually have a whole heap of press things. Now, one of the things is that you have got to just develop your press midden before you bring in the press or anything like that. So your old people tend to, getting old people to actually hold modern phones and start swiping them across there. That will be a story, but it's sort of developing my story. Now, the thing I really... I have to see if I can dig up some pictures from the past. To just paint a little bit of picture of convicts and or political prisoners, Irish political prisoners, and all this thing. Nothing on the First Fleet type of stuff, and then the sort of a scientific story, ancient scientific story coming up. So, and this is absolutely true. My grandmother was the music teacher of Errol Flynn. Professor Flynn was a researcher into the thylacines and the Tasmanian devils. That's what he was into, and some of that led to the sort of Tasmania that was at that particular point in time. So that led off to Errol Flynn. It led off to Flynn is an Irish the Irish community expat. Not expat, I suppose it was from Ireland. So they're sort of second or third generation Irish people in Tasmania. And you've got the Errol Flynn, you've got the Shirleys. And so my grandmother was Mildred Shirley. And then you've got Arthur Shirley, who's the famous Australian film director. Oh, that's a bit hopefully interesting. That's the grandparents. Show it them. And then the husband is it William or Richard Hill? William, I can't remember. But he in the 30s, introduced digital counting and said digital is the way forward. And here are the, and I do have them, the original Hills Constructive Counters and a vision for Australian teaching. And that vision was seen as a threat and crushed, along with the viewpoint that removing Aboriginal children was not a good thing. This is completely out of it, and that person should be crushed and destroyed. And so when the Great Depression came along, and he got a job as a school principal, and essentially was whatever it was, but he was able to teach some digital maths and mathematical problem solving to his son Geoffrey Hill, who's my father, and he is the worker on CYRAC, the famous Australian computer, the inventor of computer music, and the production of the first computer language, first modern computer language called into program. So this is a language where you did just set numbers, and it didn't operate on numbers. It was operated on English commands. Obviously, essentially, when the most you had was a machine chip, you would type in machine language, and machine language program lines are just all alphanumeric codes. So you have various alphanumeric codes for registers and stuff like that. So just to bring it up, and so this is showing it's there, and so there's the build-up of the historical society. So not to actually steal the thunder first, this is to believe that fantasy that somehow history matters. And what actually is the most amazing thing is that history doesn't matter, or you don't matter. You, as the politicians, the people that they haven't worked out that, you know, they haven't worked out what matters. And then when they compile the list of, I'm just not going to say to them, but when they compile the list of what matters, you're on the bottom of it. And so you've got to be like a bacteria. I can't say that to them, but you've got to evolve consensus toxin stuff to really go out. So I'll show the Hills Constructive Counters. Each block is an inch by an inch, and there's 100 blocks, and they're white and red counters, and just absolutely gorgeous, brilliant thought. And what's so great is, so what's the great thing is the great hope and great faith in Australian productivity that this person from the 30s and 20s, someone with an education psychology degree, which is pretty amazing. Back then, sort of the idea of like that, you got to actually understand exactly how dumb, I have to say, how ill-equipped the education system was. There wasn't a lot of intellectual resource back then, and Australia had a population of 4 million, and of course we had a lot of our population. I think. Over a quarter of all able-bodied people were on the Western Front. So it's not that there was a fraction. There were more per head of population Australians on the Western Front. Well, obviously Germans probably outnumbered us per head of population, but so essentially I don't know what the system was. There was, we didn't have a lot of infrastructure to man in terms of, like, I would expect. So England would have an awful lot of railways, sort of very essential, sort of labour intensive. So they had industry, but their industry was labour intensive. But out here we just had your farm, and yeah, you can reduce a farm by a good fraction of people and have the slightly older people look after it. Well, that's the story. The story, at least. And so you've got the story of this question of, well, what happens next? And then what happens next is to show the data projection. So I just want to think to go off. I'll just start off with the... I won't start off with the data projector full off. I will start off with just the asset, which is the Hills Constructive Counters. So this, I think we have the only existing set of Hills Constructive Counters, and that's a and it's a sort of very, some people have done research theses on it. So it's a series. It's a story. What will be good is that I have the boxes. The idea that you're carrying the flag, you're carrying it through, and so they'll see the constructive counters, this lovely wooden box, and then next to it is 100 years later, is the next generation of things, the next box. So it's from here to here, and to know, I suppose the important thing, and the important thing is to know, to hook onto the idea that they've crushed it in the past, they're going to crush it again, and what are you going to do about it, Whitey? Okay, what was that? I can't remember where that quote's from. You know, what are you going to do? Oh, I think it's at Whitey. That's, I think, out of Blues Brothers. that they had it there, so that that sense that there is this thing that if you basically rebuild someone, it's sort of like, I don't know, not. It's sort of a bit like, I think, for me, the view of Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator, where he's been shot and stuff like that, and he's rebuilding himself, or, you know, he's in the hotel room looking at his face, looking at the the cybernetics person, sort of, he's knows who Arnold Schwarzenegger is. A brilliant in The Terminator, but I don't think it goes through. What I'm doing there is the idea of essentially the old people who get knocked out being rebuilt, or, you know, the the idea that certain, you know, you are knocked about, but it's sort of just only blowing things away to expose the mechanical core, the cybernetics corporation. And of course, I am half or just on the edge of being a cyborg, in terms of that I have a high-tech mechanical part built with top technology developed for nuclear missiles, which lasts 10 million years. Now, this sort of thing is cartoon-esque, but it's all true. Shit, I've got that huge truck coming in behind me, and we're just at 12, so we're going to just hit all the school zones coming in. Yeah, so the issue here is to do this slow build. Now, everyone's on the side, and it's the sort of really strange thing is that my story is that the sensation for myself is that I somehow learn things really quickly. What it probably is a combination of learning things very quickly and forgetting the detail of how you learnt it. So people have obviously, if you're on the scrap heap, you don't have a track record. Of learning how to do things. So there is these instances where I say, so the seat is, we've got a bench seat, because we used to sport six kids at home, have to sit on benches on the large dinner table to accommodate it, especially with friends over or anything like that. And these benches eventually give way, and I was going through a process of finding a large roofing nail, working out how that goes. So essentially, because I'm doing things really in real slow motion, I do them very high quality. So eventually getting the right head for the roofing nail, which is this magnetic thing, and they cost so much, and go across and find it and go, and then finally when it goes, it then goes into the chairs and like that. Within, after all this hours of contemplating, working out what to do, and it come across and it goes in. But I look underneath it, and I said, "Hey, someone has put. Oh, that is actually quite good handiwork." And of course, oh, it must have been me. And I do have some vague recollections of it. And obviously something you normally wouldn't forget. You know, if you had it, then you'd done one level of repair. So I put an angle bracket underneath. Obviously, if you put anything up above the seat thing, it's sort of like a DAC catcher. You'd be absolutely destroyed. And There's and if you do something wrong, people say, "Oh, you're stupid," and you say, you go, "Yep, you're right. I am stupid. I am dumb." And yeah, and it's not so. I'm sort of like they want to be abusive, and they think that you are showing spunk by saying, "Oh, you're stupid." But no, in fact, you are actually stupid. So today I had to find my wallet. So I went out at night to get milk and my medicine. Fantastic. People there, and I had left my wallet in the car. So this morning I go through, lost the wallet, don't think, and it's, you know, how stupid leaving the wallet out there. And indeed, it's stupid there. Now, the story is that obviously there's experience built up, but there's sort of two aspects. One is that it's not built in a fantasist's construct of experience. Like, I'm so great, and look at my company is so great, and my company built that mine over there, so I built that mine over there, and you know, I'm involved. I sold an IBM typewriter, so I'm as important as people in Bell's. You know, it's complete confusion. So I don't have that story to go. Instead, what is actually happening is that I'm perhaps forgetting things. You know, how I learned things. So what I'm forgetting is the process of learning, but not the lesson. So I'm forgetting the wrapping, but I'm remembering the content of it. For some reason, the content is going in because I use the content again and again. So the wrapping disappears with it. So I look at it and sort of at I said to I think one person, one I think it was the psychiatrist, the education department part of the. The "we'll crush you lowly worm," sent me off to a psychiatrist who confirmed that I wasn't mad, and in fact perhaps but what they are concerned is reading some of the stuff, associated stuff, that they would be better off consulting elsewhere. However, I said, I look at some code and I say, "Who wrote this code?" And it's sort of like this beautiful, beautiful time. Is that you feel? You know, my feeling was one of awe and wonder. So, how does this come across? And there's this thing in terms of this the story to come through. So, there's sort of three layers of story. There's there's a story that the historical society can take of the march of history, and essentially showing a historical block and a historical figure, and that historical figure walks out as a spirit out of the history page to give them their new advanced technology. The ultra advanced technology to come across. So this is more advanced and more practical than the very best that the government could ever produce. So we have a solution within hours. Now, is it within hours? It's just the sort of the basic building blocks there. But the image for them is. They are cited really within their their role there. The image to them is the old guys. And I should really see if I can get the I might print out a few photographs. So initially, so what they tend to do is they have printouts and they hand the printout back to the meeting. So I'll do it. So for that will get it there. And then the story from my behalf. So is that they have there the only story. I don't have a story of doing this in industry. I don't have a backstory of gee, this is great. I'm part of IBM or I'm part of some big organization, and that's where a lot of money comes from. It's sort of like very much the cargo cult. That's where there's this view of the big organization, which is the United States, coming in, the Air Force, and it was a big organization, and it was something that people had not seen before. You know, you've got to see that a lot of people walking, people at that stage, what they'd seen before was the Ford Model T's going around. 20 years before, 1920s, things was just incredibly old. You know, people were in steamships, they were getting on board the Titanic and all that type of stuff, and Empire Day, and going off to World War One and all that sort of stuff. So the Americans were just a huge advance. It's just that people are still think of it, and they still sort of talk as so they're from a big organization. And I don't have that. I acknowledge that do things so it feels to me that things are happening incredibly quickly, and that's the actual story. The alternative is that I'm not going off to people saying, "Oh, this is fantastic! Look at me! Look at me!" It's more not being depressed about things, getting off your ass, having a go, and not being overly depressed, sort of ignoring. Oh, she was. What the heck is happening here? Come on, you little thing. Poor bastard. No, you always think of that in terms of this is a. I don't know if you heard that siren. So, the view is not fantasist, but the only thing you're left with when you can't, there is probably a rational explanation, but for you, the way that it is presented, the first cab off the rank is that a lot of these things appear miraculous. Sort of being able to know within a very short space of time how to set up the Google spreadsheet such that they can just annotate the information on a website. And I suppose from that thing you basically have no, like, there's certain gaps missing, and you know things get produced by, let's see how we're going for time here. Things get produced under the table, sort of. I can't quite describe. They're not on the workshop floor in terms of. There is a certain element of the magic elves coming out in the night and producing it, and it's sort of like it's. It's there. It's sort of like when your mates come around and organise a party for, you know, a party, beer and everything tends to go. So there is actually a lot of things in society which happen without specific someone controlling it, and people can often produce a fantasy story. So a lot of the seasons came and went, and a lot of the sort of, it's like combining natural magic and social magic. So a lot of these events, people getting together, having cups of coffee together and things like that, for some reason, that works at a very low level to come going, but there's no sort of top management plan for it. It's just what you do in a society to get things going, and given that you know that, the worst thing you can do is take your attention away from those short-term soft skills. Well, on a sort of big hard skill, and then when things don't work, rather than going back to the soft skills and slowing things down, you go harder, and then you get angrier, and we'll push things through. Now, this is the most amazing. Sorry, this is an amazing thing that people don't think of intermediaries. They don't think of certain things missing. One is the idea of an intermediary, and the other thing is taking time and the. Like, it takes a certain amount of time to order in wood to make up a shed, but it also takes a certain amount of time for social people to find a solution, because those solutions take steps, missteps, going back and finding. You ask a few people, and the first group of people don't work, and you go into the second tier, and that takes a period of time to do. Now, if you are going to a deadline, you just can't. That sort of social computation doesn't. The social CPU is at so many megahertz, it takes so long to do the operation in there. So this is one of the things, is that people don't have a sense of time. And it's really interesting to hear different groups talk about, they always want to get something done in a year, or they never get anything done, or they only focus on events, whatever it is. So all we're concerned about these different timescales, and they don't think about it. And so here, there's the strategy for here, and then. The idea of how you bind people into an organisation through the idea of intermediaries and translation. So now the translation involves several steps. You've got to have a translator to put in there, and you've also got to have someone who can understand the basic grammar of their language, so the great structure of the language. So they wanted to the Glenbrook Historical Society wanted to rent a hall, and they were told bugger off. And so I know this story from I was looking at whether we can host. This is an interesting thing. War movies, sort of old movies that the RSL people all voted and liked, and holding a basic film evening there. I sort of asked the cinema, and they said, No, And I sort of said, yeah, what's this all about? It's, how? And then it revealed that they had developed this defensive mechanism because they're dealing with such big bastards, big fly-by-nights, essentially wanker. They've got anti-wanker barrier. So you put it down and you understand it, and you understand what their requirements for a negotiation is, that they've got an old cinema owner, they want to protect him from these people. That's what this entire story is. And if you say, oh, look, we understand that, and we'll invite him along and talk, and you can sort of get through there. But there you go, there goes the actual story, is that there's the general wanting to do this. But the problem is diffuse on several layers in terms of people can't go to that socially. People are not like a company saying, okay, well, we've introduced a new way of stock taking. We're going to introduce this tomorrow. And it just doesn't do it. Does it really, in a social organisation, a lot of people think, "Oh, I have, here's this 100-year-old social organisation where it's built on social thing, and I've reorganised it. It might be able to do the one thing that they've thought is better." And it may, from their outside external thing, better, but the number of people who feel ownership is dropped. So unlike a company, and this is one thing, is that you don't have money shares. In fact, money is a distraction. Essentially, everyone brings goodwill, and goodwill is not a tradable commodity. Goodwill is a much more complex thing than money, in that it has to have it's like goodwill needs a monetary exchange at every bloody transaction. Now, fortunately, that's the way goodwill operates. Goodwill is not so much the value of the actual goodwill itself. Goodwill is the value of getting that translation going between individuals, and that your goodwill under low load conditions means that under high load conditions you have got that pre-programming. So the idea of money is it's got no information in it and you can transact it. The goodwill is quite the opposite. It's not necessarily transactable. It's something you can bank. You can actually put on your asset list. But it's an incredibly complex thing. And its value is the fact that it does take so much computational power. It is something which actually just tests and operates an organization. So for all of that, the things that you definitely don't want to do is you don't want to actually go through and do your classic trained, this is the way it's happening thing. And getting the psychology right, and that is to actually in this situation is basically have innovation, and innovation is probably not the right word for it, have new things coming out from where they expect it. So it's sort of like a if someone has something miraculously happen in their store, it's there because they're profiting for it. We want to see it. Oh, it could be miraculous. But if it happens in a chapel, There's something about a religious chapel which has got social goodwill buy-in, and this person there is translating goodwill of God. You know, they're translating what is happening. It's because a lot of people, things happen, and when things happen, people have to translate it into what it means to me. Is this fair? Can I do and stuff like that? How can it go? So I'll keep on going. Now, I've managed to keep on crapping on to you until I've actually reached home in time for dinner. And so I've got another hour's strength training here. And so I went out last night for a good hour and a half walk up and down the gorge, and I don't think I'm losing weight or anything like that. I really think I'm just treading water, and it's stressing to get across. So I've just got to get this thing in, and it is very, very interesting, and it is so interesting to see how the politicians operate, and there's certain basic logic which they've copied other people. They're professional. They copy other people, and they're not very high quality people. Okay, thanks a lot, and I'll keep on working. Thanks a lot. See you. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.